When knowing about the work starts feeling like knowing how to do it, the internet, video tutorials, and AI have made self-directed learning more powerful than ever. They can also make the first layer of knowledge feel like the whole thing. You can learn an astonishing amount without ever entering a classroom. A good YouTube tutorial can show you how to repair something in your home, understand a software tool, edit video, analyze a market, cook a difficult meal, or begin a skill that once required an expensive gatekeeper. Search engines put a library in reach. Online communities expose you to practitioners. AI can turn a vague question into a working starting point in seconds. That is real progress. It is one of the most hopeful facts about modern life. But access to a clear explanation can produce a strange side effect. The first layer of knowledge starts to feel like the whole thing. We learn the vocabulary. We see the finished process. We can repeat the basic logic. Then, often without noticing, "I understand what this is" becomes, "I know how to do this well." The difference matters everywhere, but the workplace makes it visible. Someone can study a company, follow its competitors, watch business content, read customer reviews, and ask AI for a plan. They may walk into a meeting with a polished account of what the business should do next. What they have not yet met are the exceptions: the customer who will leave, the vendor who will not cooperate, the deadline that collides with another deadline, the process that looks irrational, until you learn what failure it was built to prevent. This is not a complaint about young workers. Older workers can confuse years in a role with current judgment. New workers can bring insight that a company badly needs. The deeper problem is modern false mastery, an information environment so fluent that it makes borrowed, early, or partial understanding feel complete. When easy information feels like earned knowledge. The central thinking trap here is the fluency illusion. Information that is easy to read, watch, recognize, or summarize can feel more deeply learned than it really is. A crisp video makes a process look clean. A strong presenter makes a hard job sound legible. An AI response arrives in the composed tone of a finished answer. The ease belongs partly to the presentation, but our minds can misattribute it to our own mastery. That is why self-teaching can feel so exhilarating. A person begins with a question, finds a good explanation, and suddenly sees a system that had been opaque. The feeling is not fake. It often marks the genuine beginning of competence. The trap is treating the beginning as the final exam. A 2015 study by Yale researchers Matthew Fisher, Marielle Gadu, and Frank Kyle gives this intuition a sharper edge. Across 9 experiments, people who searched online for explanatory information tended to rate their own internal knowledge more highly. Access to the explanation was easy to experience as knowledge held in the head. The internet did not make participants foolish. It made the boundary between what they knew and what they could retrieve less obvious. AI can narrow that boundary further. Search, at least, leaves you with the experience of looking through sources. An assistant can answer in a single fluent voice, adapt the answer to your wording, produce a plan, and make the output sound as though it already belongs to you. That can be enormously useful. It can also make it easier to skip the moment where understanding is tested against a resistant reality. Knowing the language is not the same as carrying the responsibility. The next trap is the illusion of explanatory depth. We often feel that we understand a familiar system until someone asks us to explain its mechanism step by step. We know what a zipper does, for example, but explaining exactly how its parts make it work is harder. The same thing happens with businesses, departments, and jobs. It is one thing to say a company should improve its margins, automate its workflow, sharpen its brand, or treat customers better. It is another to explain which constraint will move, who will absorb the cost, what will break first, and how the plan changes when the obvious path fails. Modern business language is especially good at hiding this gap. Terms such as strategy, operations, culture, growth, systems, and automation can create a reassuring sense that the work has been grasped. They are useful words. They become a disguise when they replace a causal account of how a particular business gets from Monday morning to Friday afternoon without disappointing customers, exhausting its staff, or running out of cash. None of this makes self-teaching second rate. In many fields, a curious newcomer who learns from excellent online teachers can become useful faster than someone who waited passively for formal instruction. The web can reveal the vocabulary, the tools, the common mistakes, and the questions worth asking. It can even expose a learner to more examples than a narrow workplace ever would. What it cannot guarantee is contact with the consequences of a decision. That contact is where an idea stops being merely persuasive and starts becoming dependable. This is why a person can sincerely believe they could run a business after consuming a great deal of business content. They may have learned something valuable about the visible logic of a company. What remains difficult to acquire from the outside is tacit knowledge. Timing, exceptions, informal relationships, local constraints, and the small judgments experienced people make before they can fully explain them. A 2025 review of expertise in organizations makes the distinction well. Expertise is not simply intelligence, confidence, or years on a resume. It is domain-specific knowledge structures developed through training, practice, learning opportunities, and the quality of the feedback a person receives. Experience is not magic, and time alone is a poor proxy. But repeated application under real conditions builds mental frameworks that a clean explanation cannot simply hand over. The cost of being certain too soon. When fluency and partial explanation combine, overconfidence effect can do the rest. A person may feel ready to overhaul a process before they have had to operate it. They may reject feedback as resistance to change. They may see caution as proof that a veteran colleague is outdated, rather than evidence that the colleague has encountered a failure mode they have not yet seen. The cost is not only interpersonal friction. Teams can change a process before understanding why it existed. They can overpromise to a customer, underestimate a project, or deploy a new tool without planning for edge cases. Then the result is read as proof that the new employee was arrogant or that the new idea was bad. Often, the more accurate explanation is simpler. The plan met a reality it had not yet included. Leaders have their own trap waiting here. A manager who sees one new hire sound overly certain can slide into generational stereotyping. Young workers are entitled, distracted, allergic to effort, convinced they know everything. That story is tempting because it converts a difficult management problem into a familiar cultural complaint. It is also a poor way to identify talent. Some early career workers learn unusually fast. Some experienced workers have stopped learning. Good judgment requires seeing the individual in the task, not assigning certainty or incompetence by age. The modern workplace has a genuine experience problem, but it is not solved by lecturing people about humility. Deloitte's 2025 Global Human Capital Trends research found that 2/3 of managers and executives said recent hires were not fully prepared, with experience the most common shortfall. The report also describes the catch. Workers cannot gain experience without foothold opportunities, while employers increasingly want applicants who already have it. Peter Capelli's concise version, quoted in the report, is that everybody wants someone with 3 years of experience and nobody wants to give them 3 years. That is a shared failure, not a personality flaw. Workers need opportunities to let confidence meet feedback. Organizations need to create real work, mentorship, and room for supervised mistakes instead of demanding fully formed judgment at the door. A better test than do I get it? The corrective is not to distrust online learning, AI, or a feeling of early progress. Use the video, ask the model, read the handbook, learn the language, then add tests that fluency cannot pass by itself. Can you explain the process without reopening the material? Can you use it in a case that looks different from the example? Can you name the trade-off your recommendation creates? Can you say what information would make you change your mind? Can you recover when the obvious solution fails? Those questions turn the feeling of understanding into something closer to usable judgment. For workers, the goal is not to distrust what you learned online. It is to keep testing it against reality. For leaders, the goal is not to demand experience while withholding the chance to gain it. It is to create the conditions where confidence can become judgment. The internet did not make people less capable. It made the first layer of capability available to almost everyone. That is worth celebrating. The trap begins when that first layer feels like the whole building.